At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And welcome to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds here at South Point Casino in fabulous Las Vegas. We're going to have the King of New York, Will Hill, is going to join us for our Tuesday chat from New York City. There's a lot to get to, obviously, with the NBA, a big double dip in the association in the playoffs. Playoffs are really heating up right now. Wes, we're going to get to all of that in just a second, but we do have breaking news to begin the show. It's the biggest news of the day. And it is, in fact, that the GOAT, Tom Brady, is retiring from pro football once and for all after this year to be an analyst on Fox.
Yeah, it says following his playing career, so we never know if it's this year
or the year after.
But nevertheless, Tom Brady going to be in the number one booth spot, the analyst spot on Fox. Likely with Kevin Burkhardt, you would think, as Joe Buck is now with ESPN. Joe Davis is now the main voice of the World Series. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Burkhardt, who has been part of the number two team on Fox with Greg Olson, is going to get bumped up. I believe he's with Olson this year as the number one team in terms of his analyst, but it will be TB12 taking that spot.
Okay, Wes, let's just play this out a little bit. If I knew that you had another job that you were taking – at some point, but yet we're teammates trying to put together the best shows that we can put together here at VSiN, whether it's here in the Lombardi Line or you and I in the Green Zone on a Sunday or betting across America. Does it affect the performance of the current teammates? Because I'm wondering if you're now a Buccaneer and you got visions of grandeur. You're going to be one of the small favorites here to not only potentially, you know, win the South, but win the NFC, win the Super Bowl. Does it change at all the way you think people in that? Because you know how guys are.
Right.
Hey, short timer. Like, we know you got one foot out the door now, for real. Like, do you think anybody looks at the Bucks differently, and does it affect them? And I say it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also I do wonder, you know, I talk about this with fighters all the time, Wes. When I talk to, let's say, Ronda Rousey, before I spoke to her when she was in Melbourne, the week of her losing to Holly Holm for the very first time. And I said to her, what's next? And she says, well, I hope I can go somewhere where Dana White can't find me. I knew she'd one foot mentally out the door. Does this say that not only is it one big foot, but we've already announced it, so this really does feel like the last hurrah, and I wonder if that's a good or bad thing?
Well, I think everybody is different, obviously, in terms of their philosophy, but I wouldn't think it would affect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. I would think, hey, we want to go for one more ring. And look, they tried to do it last year, pretty much brought everybody back, fell in the divisional round at home to the Los Angeles Rams, who made that furious comeback late in the game. But I don't think so. I think, look, there is a new coach there now. It is Todd Bowles. Bruce Arians gets bumped up to the front office. So don't get me wrong, there's transition with that Tampa Bay organization. But I think, look, there is a little bit, there's pride on that team. And I got to think, okay, we not only want to, you know, send the guy out a winner, but more importantly, we want to do it for our damn selves, you know, and not worry about what somebody else is doing.
Sure.
So I really don't think so. I think Tom Brady has built up enough respect and cachet, if you will, enough credibility with the boys in the locker room that they're not going to be thinking that he's like half-assing it. He's not coming back if he's just going to give like a half-baked effort here.
And I think this kind of, we can now read between the lines here in the tea leaves. This meant that Brady probably had this offer when he initially retired,
mm-hmm.
right? Felt like maybe people jumped the shark on him in way of his announcement. He thought about it, felt a certain type of way, decided to come back. And now you see those odds at -$3 to win the South. I don't know that the Falcons nor Panthers are realistically in position to challenge. I think the Saints might be the only interesting team in the South.
Right.
Because, one, Dennis Allen has a great game plan against Tom Brady. Right? I mean, that is, we just know that. They know how to play the Buccaneers. Now, I don't know if they're good enough overall to make that a viable number at 5-1, but it does feel like those are the only two teams in play in the South, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I just think that there's too many areas that Atlanta and Carolina need to improve on that roster. They may be more competitive as a whole,
yeah,
necessarily, but I still think the Saints might be the only challenger there. I actually did like what the Saints did in the draft. They went ahead and committed to Jameis Winston,
yep,
at least short term, gave him 2 years. It's Dennis Allen, so Jameis is coming back. Michael Thomas is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, him and Sean Payton got sideways. So maybe he's looking at it as, okay, man, clean slate here. You know I was on the staff with the previous guy, and maybe this is what Dennis Allen is going to be telling Michael Thomas. But you know what? We're starting fresh here. Come back. Ball out. I like what the Saints did in the first round, getting Chris Olave out of Ohio State, also the offensive tackle Penning out of Northern Iowa, because they got to replace Terron Armstead, who signed a free agent deal in Miami. So you look, and I think the Saints are trying to kind of get back to where they were. I still think that this is a pretty solid defense. Dennis Allen, more of a defensive coach, but I could see this being at least a small bounce back year for the Saints. I still don't know, yeah, if they have enough to take Tampa Bay in the division, though.
Once again, repeating our lead story of the day, Tom Brady, once his football career is done, whatever that is.
He's like a fungus. He just never goes away, Tom Brady. It's always like he's got to be
topic A.
He's going
to be right in your living room. He'll be,
yes,
back in your living rooms, this time,
yes,
talking as a lead analyst for Fox Sports. So we'll figure out when the career finally does come to an end for Tom. Terrific. It felt like things last night might be coming to an end for the Boston Celtics, because through three quarters, they were in a lot of trouble up in Milwaukee. But then a huge, and I do mean huge, fourth quarter, a 43-point fourth quarter for the C's not only evens up the series at two games apiece, but it led to the over cashing yesterday. And also, obviously, they cover that number. They get the win outright. You didn't need the point and a half if you took the C's. One is where it closed here at BetMGM. Now, all of a sudden, we got a brand new series, two games apiece. I got to tell you, Wes, I was surprised in the fact that when I have a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, somebody you and I believe is the best player in the NBA. He's the face of the NBA. I know Jokic is the MVP. Congratulations. Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's your league. You got a 10-point lead, fourth quarter, and you can't hold it to take a 3-1 lead. That surprised me in the manner in which Boston came back. What was the biggest surprise to you, if at all, in that game?
Dave, I've often said when talking about the Boston Celtics, especially the last few weeks in the playoffs, that Al Horford, I refer to,
wow,
him as the adult in the room. And look, he goes out there, he gives you defense, he gives you rebounding, he gives you leadership. This is still a team with two emerging young stars, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have that like veteran influence. And I think Al Horford is absolutely that. But he gave you some numbers last night.
Wow.
30 points and 8 rebounds, hit 5 threes, 11 of 14 from the floor. Look, he's not going to be able to stop Giannis. And by the way, you mentioned Giannis, 34 and 18 in a losing effort. I mean, you're usually going to win when he puts up those type of numbers.
Yep.
But Boston, really, you look at what they did. They outshot him from two-point range. And really, the story's been Milwaukee's kind of been getting what they want at the rim, because the Boston Celtics just simply do not have the size,
mm-hmm,
to stop Giannis. Or, you know, if Portis can get down low, or Brooke Lopez, even though they're more step out and shoot, Giannis is obviously drive to the rim and dunk on your heads. But Boston, 14 threes last night to Milwaukee's 9, and that's really been a story for the series too, are the Milwaukee Bucks from 3-point range, 33 of 113
Yikes.
In the series. That is 29%. that is not going to win this seven-game series. So they have got to find some outside shooting. And maybe now they're feeling the effects of Middleton, even though Middleton's not really their best three-point shooter.
What a good inside guy, right?
He certainly opens up the offense and changes the dynamic. But, you know, all of a sudden, you got to get Grayson Allen. You got to get Pat Connaughton. You got to get Drew Holiday. You got to get Giannis to stop taking threes, too. You know, get your butt in the paint. You're the best player in the world. They can't stop you at the rim. So, Giannis, I would not want him to take any threes at all. And he took four last night, went 0-for-4. But, you know, these other guys have got to step up. Matthews did go 3-of-4 last night. But, you know, Connaughton, Grayson Allen, Drew Holiday was only 1-of-6 last night. Mm-hmm. So, these guys all got to step up and hit some threes here, because that's kind of what you thought Boston. It's like, okay, they got to shoot well from the three if they're going to beat this team. And they shot okay, 14-of-37 last night. But it was really Al Horford was kind of the man of the hour last night, even though Tatum matched him with 30 points. You're not going to get 30 every night from Al Horford, but he's such a good influence because he is the adult in the room.
He is, and congratulations on just turning 25, Al Horford. I mean, he's turning back the clock. It's amazing because you go back to those great Florida teams. When you're winning national championships, all those guys are gone. Every one of them's out of the league now. And Al Horford, old man Al, just keeps turning back the clock. And every time they needed a big shot last night, it was Al Horford who was really giving it to him. And you're right about Giannis. Look, he can knock down the three. We all know that. Every time he shoots a three, whether it goes in or not, that's a win for the defense.
Just because you can knock down the three doesn't mean you have to try to knock down the three.
Amen. Let's talk about the Warriors and Grizzlies and what a great game that turned out to be. I didn't know if it was good defense or bad offense for the majority of it. And when you look at Golden State and go, my goodness, what did they have? 39 points, I believe, at halftime? I mean, you saw the first half from Golden State look as pedestrian as you could look. And they were down in that first half. And they were down pretty much throughout this game. And then a furious comeback late, and they take control late and hold on for the three-point win, 101-98. So the Grizzlies do cash those tickets if you had them at 9.5, 10, and the under easily cashes here as it barely got to 199. All not or 3-1 now, and no John Morant. Is this series over for all intents and purposes?
It's about over. I think the Grizzlies, that was really their chance last night. I had them at 10.5. It closed 9.5. And look, that should have been their game. They almost let it wire to wire. The Warriors take their first lead in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I don't know if it was bad offense, but it was certainly bad shooting.
Yes.
9-of-35 from the three for Memphis, 9-of-37 from the Golden State Warriors. Dylan Brooks, in his return from the game suspension, very frustrating performance for Grimes City. 5-of-19 from the floor, 2-of-9 from the outside. And look, Memphis, I think, had them. They had them beat, and then Golden State just figured out a way, and that's what veteran teams do. I said Golden State was going to win in six. It might be in five now.
Yeah, it might be. Again, this is a series I actually thought would go six or seven, and that was because, again, yes, you expect John Morant to beat there. You can't, anticipate the knee injury, but they do play better defense without it. That is a fact, just the numbers show. When we come back, more NBA on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. Again, going to have Will Hill join us a little bit later on this hour, and we'll get his thoughts certainly on the NBA playoffs today and also the golf this week at the Byron Nelson. I always love talking golf with you guys as I try to certainly tail you, Wes, and the Long Shots crew for some potential winners out there. But let's talk about the betting guide today in the NBA. And this is a pivotal now game five down in Miami, because right now it's the Phantom of the Process is what they're calling, I've heard. Joel Embiid, the masked man. He's been spectacular in the last few games. Even if the numbers aren't exactly what you want, it's what he brings to the lineup and what he's brought to the rest of that team to flip this series on its ear and get everything even after they were down 0-2 and really struggled to score in those first two games in Miami. Now the Heat, a shorter favorite at 2.5. You see the total at 209.5. Do you prefer the side or the potential total in this one?
Yeah, I have not bet this as of yet. Now seeing this drip to 2.5. And when I was on with Patrick yesterday, I saw 3.5, and then it started to leak out, even though it wasn't official. But the Woj tweet in terms of Nikola Jokic expected to win the MVP, and then Sam Amick came out with the expected to have the most expensive contract, 5 years, $254 million. I'm like, boy, isn't that just some fire for Joel Embiid?
Wow.
Isn't that some bulletin board material here? And it's being bet accordingly. 3.5, now down to 2.5. It would go to 3, and then it would go back to 3.5. But it had been hit right before we got on the air. So seeing a lot of 2.5s out there, including at BetMGM. Look, when you look at it, this is now a series. And
yeah,
I think Joel Embiid, despite the fact that maybe the numbers aren't what we expect, even though they're not bad numbers,
no,
they're not pedestrian by any stretch. I mean, maybe on the basis of his level in the regular season, but if you look at the Sixers with him on the floor, plus 10.2 points per 100 possessions, without him, minus 6.6. So that pretty much tells the story. Obviously, James Harden,
yes,
had a big game
four. Yes, he did.
But it wasn't just James Harden. It wasn't just Houston Harden, as we call him, H-Town Harden, because he looked like H-Town Harden in game four. What really is the big story is not only Embiid's return, but Miami's poor shooting. Miami is shooting 25% or worse from behind the arc,
mm-hmm,
in four of the five games, in four of the last five games in the playoffs, including the final game of the Atlanta series. This is a team, you know, kind of just a little bit above middle of the pack from the three, but they take a lot of threes.
They
take about 30 per game. So if Miami's not hitting those shots, there is certainly a concern. Miami only averaged 100.5 points per 100 possessions in the two games in Philly, 22.2% beyond the arc. And you know, you could think, okay, one game, okay, you go on the road, you're going to shoot poorer than you are at home. And then you did it again. And some of it, I think, is the fact that Joel Embiid is obviously back defensively. That's where I think he's really making the difference. And he's opening up the offense. Philadelphia, 117.6 per 100 possessions in the non-garbage time minutes at home in those two games. So it seems like Uncle Mo is kind of moving a little bit to Philadelphia. I took Miami in the series before Embiid was announced to be missing the,
sure,
first two games at minus 170. Not feeling as good about it right now. Small lean to the over here, but as of now, no bet for me.
Our guy Danny Burke in Chicago was kidding with Danny about this, like, you know, hey, just keep chucking them up there, Miami, in game four. The next one's bound to go in,
mm-hmm,
and they just never did. So, look, you waste a 40-burger from Jimmy Butler. My question would be, if you're Coach Spo, Do you tell those guys to stop shooting the three? Or to your point, that's kind of the makeup of their offense, and you have to hope, as you would say, you know, water kind of hits its level, finds its level here, and they start to make more of those. Because clearly, they're giving Philadelphia's Miami the opportunity to knock these down from beyond the arc. They're just not doing it.
I don't know really what you can change from a game plan standpoint if you're Spo, but one thing that's got to happen is Bam Adebayo's got to be better.
He does.
And Joel Embiid, I think, has done a very good job of neutralizing him, if not taking him away altogether in the last two games, getting him into foul trouble, you know, forcing him to take tough shots. Yeah. Obviously, it's been much more of a struggle for Bam down low, so he's got to get back to what he was in game one and game two, or at least somewhat close to that level. The proof's just in the pudding with the numbers and whatnot. So, you know, Embiid has made the difference defensively. As we know, Harden, H-Town Harden was back in game four. And then Maxey, I think, has been kind of solid at certain points. Tobias Harris, Danny Green was huge in game three because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the first two games down in South Beach. But in game three, all of a sudden, he started to hit threes. So Miami, look, it's tough to really, like, change your stripes necessarily midstream when you're in game five of the conference semifinals. So you do still got to do a little bit of chuck and duck from the three. But the bottom line is Bam Adebayo's got to be better.
No question about it. And you mentioned it with James Harden. When he plays like that, they're going to be really tough to beat. Like, if you can get old James, and I've been critical of James so far in this postseason, like, if this is now healthy James Harden, and we have no reason to believe that he's not healthy, then this is what you're going to get. You would not be getting these type of performances.
Just keep him out of the King of Diamonds before game five. That's all Doc Rivers and company got to do.
And my other concern for Miami would be Kyle Lowry. You can tell visibly that he is not 100%. He's really trying to gut it out up there, but you need Kyle Lowry to be as close to 100%, only one day off in between game four and game five.
And I'm also interested if Spo maybe goes a little deeper in the bench. I think since Oladipo has returned, that has kind of minimized Duncan Robinson, who was a regular rotation player.
What happened to him?
And I know Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, neither of those guys are really great individual one-on-one defenders, but you need shooting.
If you can't knock down threes, don't you have to get Robinson on the
floor?
Exactly.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, you're playing Tyler Hero all these minutes, and he's kind of a defensive liability. So, you know, you got to sacrifice something. So I am a little bit surprised that Duncan Robinson's been painted on the bench for Miami.
Let's go out west, and all of a sudden, again, it's like tennis right now. Both the home teams have held serve, right? Phoenix wins the first two at home. Dallas comes back, surprises many, by winning the last two on their racket. Now, the difference that I've noticed between game one and two and three and four is in Phoenix, Luka was sensational. Over 40, and they lose. And then in games three and four, he's not the leading scorer for the team. It's Jalen Brunson, and they win. So does this show you the key here if you're Dallas? And that's, hey, Luka's Luka. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when he has to go out there and put on a Giannis-type performance, they don't win. They win when the other guys, i.e. Jalen Brunson, get more involved. Can they keep that mentality out west today against Phoenix and really maybe put a surprise into the Suns?
Well, if you look, Dallas averaging just under 118 points per 100 possessions, shooting 41% from the three. And we kind of have talked about this in the preview of the series before it even began. Dallas got to hit a bunch of threes. That's what they did against Utah.
No
this
doubt.
Is a team that's going to take over 40 threes a game. If they can make 16 of them or more, then they're probably going to win. Meanwhile, it's Phoenix that's had the offensive problems the last two games. Remember, the shot making in the first two games were so good.
Oh,
it's like,
goodness.
I don't know if
Chris
Dallas.
Chris Paul is unreal.
Yeah, it's like Dallas just can't keep up with these guys. And then Phoenix goes down there to Big D, 106.2 per 100 possessions, and just shooting poorly on mid-range, shooting poorly on the long twos. Of course, we know Chris Paul got into that foul trouble. That was a pretty poorly officiated game, I think, on game four, not just because Chris Paul was put in the foul trouble. But Phoenix, you could tell without him, over the last three games, they turned the ball over quite a bit, 17.2% of their offensive possessions. And Dallas can make you pay off live steals and get those transition threes, get a guy the extra pass over to the corner, and they're going to go ahead and knock it down, whether it's Kleber, whether it's Brunson, whether it's Luka. They've got several guys. Dorian Finney-Smith was a guy
great.
That was really huge on Sunday in game four. He hit eight threes. So, yeah, I think if you look, Phoenix has got to find a way to take care better care of the ball. I got to think the game might be officiated differently where Chris Paul's not getting put in foul trouble and they're getting put in jail so soon. So small lean to Phoenix, but I think that this number is about right here. I don't know. Dallas is one of those tricky teams that's like they're always dangerous. Remember how they almost backdoored? And was it game one or game two where they almost got in the back
game
door?
Game one?
Yeah.
Like huge deficit,
yeah, where they were down big, yeah. And then all of a sudden they're making it really close. And because of the three-point shot, and look, that's what Dallas is forced to do. They don't have anybody down low
right.
that can really go with DeAndre Ayton. So you're seeing their big guys like Kleber and those guys, they're going to step out and shoot, and that's exactly what Dallas is going to do. They're not necessarily running a fast pace necessarily. I think a much faster pace series is correlated with Phoenix getting the cover. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing you could do tonight. If you like the Suns, you're probably going to like the over. If you like the Mavs getting the 6 or 6.5, you're more than likely going to like the under.
I do not know. Maybe Matt Santos, our crack producer, can find out. I like to fade the Suns when they wear those hideous black uniforms at
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Awful.
Go with the purple and the
yeah,
orange.
I mean,
go with the mainstays.
What are you doing, Phoenix? You got great color schemes, and you ruin it with that? I'll get off my lawn now. When we come back, let's go back to the NFL. Look at some win totals in both the AFC and the NFC. I cannot wait. We're getting closer and closer to football season. Yeah, not there yet, but we're getting there. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the biz right here at VSiN.com. And subscribers are going to have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily best MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to have best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil is going to break down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Going to have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Points Bear Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $59 to be a subscriber through July 31st. So sign up now at VSiN.com/spring. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. We mentioned the top story at the beginning of the show today that, of course, Tom Brady, the GOAT, is going to be retiring from football someday. And when he does, he's going to go to Fox Sports and be a lead analyst. Now, Wes Reynolds is already on record saying that he does not believe that's going to affect the Buccaneers at all. Now, their win total in the NFC is the highest in the conference at 11.5. How about this? Second, my Dallas Cowboys, your Dallas Cowboys, America's team. They are 10.5. Tied with the Packers, 10.5, and the defending reigning Super Bowl champion Rams at 10.5. Cardinals, ooh, they going to get to 10? Good luck. Niners, by the way, have just said that they're going to try to trade Jimmy G, surprise, surprise, before training camp. We'll see if that gets done. Vikes, KC8 is back. We talked about Jameis Winston back in New Orleans. And then comes those, look at those teams in the NFC East. You got the Eagles, fly 8.5. G-Men, 7.5. Commanders, 7.5. And then we get to the also-Rans in the North with the Bears at 6.5, the Lions at 6.5, back to the South with the Panthers at 5.5, and then Seahawks 5.5. And the lowest on the board, the ATL 4.5. Any numbers jump out to you right away and say, yeah, if I was going to do anything early and get the quote-unquote best of the number, I'm going to go X.
Well, the schedule release is going to be official on Thursday. We've kind of seen like little bits and pieces. It's like, okay, we'll give you a little taste here. We'll give you like a prefix menu at a restaurant, right, basically. And it got announced today. I think it's going to be Broncos-Rams on Christmas Day on CBS and Nickelodeon. So we'll get the holiday theme,
the
red and green slime for that game, Broncos and Rams. We'll go at it on Christmas Day. Looking at, and you mentioned the Buccaneers, like we were talking about, okay, is this Tom Brady thing going to be like 1 foot out the door? I don't really think so. I think what's going to be maybe tougher for Tampa Bay is that they do, at least currently, based on the ratings, and that's just based on the opponent's record from the 2021 season is that Tampa Bay has the fourth toughest schedule in the league. You look, obviously, they're going to play the South, six divisional games, but they pair up with the NFC West in terms of in the interconference of the NFC. So they get the Rams and Seattle. Seattle, by the way, that game will be played in Munich.
Sure.
And then they go to Arizona and San Francisco. You also get the AFC North, and there's not really a bad team of the bunch in that division necessarily. So you got to play Baltimore, Cincinnati, you got to play Cleveland, you got to play Pittsburgh. In terms of the interconference opponent, they drew the Kansas City Chiefs at home. And then they also got to play Green Bay at home. Then they also got to go to Dallas. So it's not like Tampa Bay is getting, okay, games with the Giants or games with the Bears or somebody like that where it's like, okay, that's probably a likely win, you know, barring disaster or a lot of injuries. So Tampa Bay, you look at the strength of schedule, the fourth toughest strength of schedule, the toughest, that would be the Los Angeles Rams. I believe the opponent combined winning percentage was 56.7%. So, and also the Rams, it's always a tough spot too, and we saw it play out with Tampa Bay, even though they had a very good season. When you win, and then it's like, okay, we got to try to run it back.
It's tough.
Sometimes you lose a little bit of that edge, you know, when you're trying to run it back to back. And the Rams aren't like Tampa Bay, where they brought essentially the whole team back.
Like if Bobby Wagner comes in.
Rams have
blood.
Had some changes. Von Miller's gone. Yep. Odell Beckham is gone. Andrew Whitworth is now retired. So you add Allen Robinson basically to replace OBJ. So you look at that Rams schedule, they got to play. They draw the Buffalo Bills, who are one of, if not the favorites in the AFC. They got to play the AFC West, which we all believe is arguably the toughest division
the
in all the
there.
NFL. And then they got to play Dallas at home. They got to go to Green Bay. And then they draw the NFC South. So that means they got to play Tampa on the road. So, you know, I haven't bet anything on the win totals yet. And I'm going to wait until the schedule because obviously you got to wait a lot for the dynamics, even though we know the opponents.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wait and see, okay, does a team got to play, you know, a short week where they, when do they play Thursday night football after they've played on Sunday? Or do they have two or three road games in a row? Or what's the travel? Because once that's released on Thursday, we're going to get like the travel mileage, right?
No doubt.
This team's got to travel 15,000 miles and this team's only got to travel 8,000 miles throughout the entire season. So the nuances are going to be there in that schedule. You know, if you have TV game after TV game after TV game in a row, and then you kind of go play a lowly opponent on a 1 o'clock, you know, regional game Sunday afternoon, sometimes that's a fade spot for that big time team off a lot of big games.
No question about it. By the way, Steve Mackinnon does a great job of Point Spread Weekly each and every week. He does incredible numbers about those teams that travel over to London. Now we got Munich this year. So again, as the season goes, you have to be listening and reading Point Spread Weekly each week for the very best information there. I will have this barred from the record, what am I about to say, in case it ever gets played back for me, but what am I missing with the Eagles at 8.5? As a Cowboy fan, I really can't play the Eagles, but my goodness, in a down division, I got to get to 9 for a team that was a playoff team a year ago after what Philadelphia did in the draft and trading for A.J. Brown? I mean, it just feels like that just sticks out like a sore thumb to me, Wes, that they're double dog daring me to take the Eagles over. Not getting a good conscience, I can't do it. But if you're playing out there, America, how do you not load up on Philadelphia if Fly Eagles fly to get over 8.5?
Based on the record last year, the 30th easiest schedule.
I mean, what
out
am I missing
32
there?
Teams. So, no, I'm with you because if you look, them and Dallas are really, there's a separation. And by the way, Dallas tied for last in terms of the easiest schedule, T31. So maybe some good fortune for your guys. But, you know, there's a separation between those two teams and the Giants and Washington. Then you get an NFC North where you've got two teams still rebuilding, Chicago and Detroit. Who knows what Green Bay is going to be? You never want to totally throw him out because they've still got number 12, and he can still make things happen.
But they have a lot of question marks at receiver.
But, yeah, he's, you know, what's around him? Is there enough around him for there to compete and make a run in the NFC playoffs and maybe to the Super Bowl? Minnesota, new head coach, new general manager. I believe this is a contract year for Kirk Cousins, so who knows what that team? That team, I think, should be better, though, with Kevin O'Connell as coach rather than Mike Zimmer. But then you look, the Eagles' schedule does get a little easier, and really the entire NFC East, because they match up with the AFC South.
I just think
who really scares you right now in the AFC South?
Nobody.
Even my Indianapolis Colts, they don't scare you. It's almost kind of like a battle of attrition. It's like, well, one of those two teams, Indy or Tennessee, is going
to
win this
thing. And I think you and I, we try to do this, and again, we got a long way to go before week one. But with these totals out there right now at BetMGM, like, to me, there are numbers that are playable. Mm-hmm. And I do think the Eagles right now at 8.5 would be a playable scenario there. You mentioned the Cowboys, and again, it's a big number. Got to get to 11. But
yeah, Cowboys are always going to be priced to the moon in this market, too. So, I, you know, those do stand out to me, and that's a good spot by you, obviously. I want to wait and see what the order of these opponents are, you know, because there's always that, okay, short week, come off a Monday night game, come off a Monday night win, or you come off a big win on Sunday night football. So there's always those little schedule dynamics or those little quirks that I think really play into this, even though we know all the opponents for all the teams.
Let me ask you about the Commanders very quickly at 7.5 for my brother and back there in D.C., because Ron Rivera, Jack Del Rio, their defense last year kind of let them down. Now, they did have stretches in the second half of the season where they got back to being, I think, the defense they thought. They bring in Carson Wentz this year. I don't know if we like what they did at the draft. They went out and got Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. They traded down with the very talented wide receiver core in the draft. Again, their number is at 7.5 for all the reasons that we just talked about with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Are the Commanders a weight spot for you, or do you trust that the defense gets righted this year with two guys that you would think Rivera, Del Rio, that would know what to do with the defense?
Yeah, they were a team that I bet under last year and went under by a half a game. I just thought maybe people were thinking, okay, this team, you know, they're right there
after
because they had
the
made
division.
The playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, they were competitive against the eventual Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, but they had such a tough schedule last year. Now it looks like, at least on paper, it's a much easier schedule because, like I mentioned, playing the AFC South teams, mm-hmm. none of those teams really scare you. They draw Atlanta at home and then at San Francisco. They also get Cleveland at home. They also play the NFC North. So there's a lot more winnable games, at least on paper, for the Commanders. And you mentioned the defense disappointed. I think this is one of the better defenses. This is one of the more underrated defenses in the league. I know they disappointed. They had some injuries last year, too, obviously, with Young going out. But, you know, can maybe Carson Wentz be stabilizing? Like, the guy really didn't turn it over when you look at the numbers all that much, but he just kind of did it in big spots and just came up lame when they really needed him. They really needed him in Jacksonville. You win that game, you get in the playoffs, and he played one of his worst games of the season. Really, the entire team did. But they got to have another second option step up besides Terry McLaurin.
Yep.
So who is going to be
maybe
that guy?
Maybe Dotson.
That's going to be interesting. But the Commanders maybe are one of those potential surprise teams, though.
All I know is this. When Carson Wentz left Philadelphia and got traded to Indianapolis, I said, no, that should not be allowed as a Cowboy fan. So I'm glad that Carson Wentz is back in the NFC East this year. Albeit.
So you can pound on him a little more, right?
Let's go get him. When we come back, we're going to go to New York City, catch up with the King of New York, Will Hill, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
We'll be right back. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using the code VEASAN200 to win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 money line wager in any MLB game and either team hits a home run regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM all season long. Sign up today with the king of sportsbooks. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. It must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued is non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds right here on the Lombardi Line. Here on VEASAN, we mentioned earlier that Kyle Lowry was visibly hobbling in Game 4, and I theorized, but I don't know how much he'll be able to give it a go tonight. He won't be able to give it a go tonight. So that is officially in that Kyle Lowry is out.
Yeah, that's a kind of a reason why I think we saw at least a little bit of drop there. I think Sixers money was coming anyway. Maybe Joel Embiid in this spot. The Joel Embiid revenge game on the MVP voters, we shall see, because I didn't think Kyle Lowry was really worth a point in the market.
And the other breaking news we mentioned off the top of the show, Tom Brady, once he does retire, will be signing on with Fox Sports as a lead analyst. Particulars are coming in, Wes Reynolds. Would you like to tell America the price tag that it comes with getting Tom Brady to stop playing football and then talk about football?
This from Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, who is the media reporter for that publication. 10-year deal for Tom Brady with Fox Sports for $375 million.
I'm sorry. 10 years... $375 million for Tom Terrific to talk about football.
Yes. And probably host like The Masked Singer or something like that or various other projects for Fox.
I got to get my agent on the phone. Let's bring in Will Hill. He is, of course, our VEASAN contributor and Point Spread Weekly writer. Will, have you ever heard of such a thing? 10 years, $375 million. And yet, you still have another job, and this job that we're talking about hasn't even started yet.
I mean, the guy's going to get buried with more money than he could ever spend. I mean, I really regret now not being a 7-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. I really missed the boat on that one. My goodness. And look, people are going to watch these games, whether it's Packers, Cowboys. People are going to watch or they're not going to watch. They're not going to say, oh, who's the announcer? Oh, Brady's doing the game. Let me watch it. That's look, these teams, these networks have more money than they can ever spend. So, I guess if you're spending billions to get the product, you just put your best announcers forward. But look, Brady's never a guy who ever says anything in these interviews, too. He's very, you know what, we got to focus on this week. A lot of cliche. So I don't know how good it'll be. Boy, that's a lot of money. Very interesting.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point that Will brings up, because I made an observation last night. I was watching, of course, Turner Sports has both not only the NBA playoffs, but they've also been having the NHL playoffs. So you've been seeing these like cool little crossovers. And then when you add the baseball crew, like Pedro Martinez and those guys. So like when you see like Barkley crossover with the hockey and like he kind of, you know, is good on that show. And it's like, this is cool to see like hockey guys mixed with basketball guys and whatnot. But Barkley obviously has been established as one of the great media personalities for years. So we'll see if Tom Brady can do the same. But, you know, that's the secret. That's the potion that Will figured out. Be a 7-time Super Bowl winner.
And then we get 10 for $375. By the way, he's also doing the match this weekend here in Las Vegas playing golf, too. So Brady's everywhere. Will, we mentioned that Kyle Lowry's out tonight for the Miami Heat in that pivotal Game 5 against Philadelphia. Does that change or affect the handicap that you have at all for this game tonight?
Yeah, I think it helps Miami because I don't think he was giving them a lot. He was more of a minus than he was a plus. He was clearly hampered. I think they went at him a lot, you know, defensively. It'll be interesting to see what Miami does. Do they dust off Duncan Robinson here and get more shooting out there? As long as you don't play him and Hero together, maybe you play some zone. I just think Miami's desperate to get more three-point shooting out on the floor. I'll be interested to see if they put up any Duncan Robinson props. It's tough because he hasn't been playing. I mean, he hasn't even been playing in garbage time. So that might be the adjustment. I don't think Lowry's given him a lot. To me, to move the line a point off, you know, his performance is a reach at best. Maybe people are just betting Philly just to bet Philly because, like you said, the Embiid thing, not winning the MVP. And Philly's look like the better team. I mean, the Embiid Harden pick and roll is really difficult to stop. Miami just doesn't look like part of a one seed, whether it's lack of three-point shooting. You know, they foul a lot. Philly has a habit of getting to the line. I know Miami's a one seed, but to me, Philly seriously has some advantages in this series, in this game. I kind of think they're going to win this series and move on. I took them +3. I would still take them +2.5. I like Philly tonight.
No, that's a good point that you make, Will, too, is if Lowry's going to be out, do they let Tyler Hero kind of run the point a little bit more? Now, he'll platoon a little bit with Gabe Vincent off the bench, but I got to think that this has got to, you know, open it up a little bit for Duncan Robinson, who's been a total non-factor and not really hardly played in this series. And you look at what Miami has been doing from the three. If you go back, what did I mention? 22.2% from beyond the arc just in the two games in Philadelphia. Take it back to the final game of the first round series against Atlanta, like 25%. So you got to think, you got to open it up a little bit and have Duncan Robinson out there. But we'll do a little recap of last night's game and then maybe play it forward to the next game tomorrow night, because I know you have a play on that. Bucks and Celtics, Al Horford, the adult in the room, comes up as the adult in the room. 30 points last night, including a few threes, a couple big ones in the fourth quarter. Game did go way over the total, though. 116-108, the final score. Celtics get the cover, and then it goes over 213.5. But you think it's going to revert back to the form that we've seen so far in this series, and you like the under tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've been playing the unders every which way. Team total, first half, full game. And I hit the first half last night. It was like, I think, 48-47. It was way on pace to go under. And then, boy, there was a stretch there in the second half where neither team could miss. Three-pointers, you know, and ones, you name it. And it sails way over. I think this, though. I think, you know, game sevens in the NBA have a habit, a history of going under. And I think a game five when it's 2-2 is basically a de facto game seven.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, the winner of this game five wins the series, I think 81% of the time. So I would expect a slower tempo tomorrow, you know, more careful shot selection, intense defense. Again, they've adjusted now to one game here. Maybe that's because Robert Williams is injured. They bumped it back up here to 14.5. I will go with the under. As far as the side, the 5.5 looks a little high here for a series that's been pretty evenly matched. I mean, it's been back and forth. Milwaukee could easily be up 3-1. Now Boston can look and say, hey, we could have won game three. But Milwaukee was up, 12 or 13 in the second half yesterday. They have the best player in Giannis. This is a classic series. I think this is going seven. The 5.5 looks a little high, and I will take the under 214.5.
Yeah, Dave, I want to kind of expand upon what Will said there in game fives. Those game five unders did go under in the first round, and that's usually, I think, the way to play it in the NBA, and I would be aboard with him just waiting to see if this goes up a little bit more. Now I got to see if I can get bold enough to try it in hockey, where we have the 2-2 game fives tonight. Of course, we've got Boston and Carolina, St. Louis and Minnesota, Tampa Bay and Toronto, LA and Edmonton, all 2-2 series. I believe 6 of the 8 series went 2-2. Of course, Colorado finished off Nashville last night. And then the Blue Shirts, both Will and I were on the Blue Shirts last night.
Oof.
Very, very bad performance against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh now up 3-1. And I know the goalie's taken some, but those defensemen were playing Matador defense with the pucks going at him. And Shesterkin never had a chance, Will.
Yeah, I think the Penguins just scored again, by the way. That was 7-2 last night. Will, we got a couple minutes to go. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, because you are the king of New York, the Kings right now in Major League Baseball, the New York Metropolitans. And I know that Tyler Miguel is going to go back in the bump today in D.C. against Patrick Corbin. And you like the Mets to get the bats going against the lefty who's been booed in the nation's capital. Is this a great spot for the Metropolitans today?
Yeah, I took Mets team total over. It's either 4 or 4.5. It fluctuates in some spots. But, boy, you mentioned Corbin. He's got a fat contract. He helped them win a World Series. He was great in 2019 for them, pitching short rest out of the bullpen. He has basically been batting practice since the beginning of last year. Velocity way down. You look at all of his numbers, exit velocity, spin rate, everything, you name it. He's the bottom of the league in everything. I would expect the Mets tonight to get the bats going. Warmer weather here on the East Coast. Finally, we're getting into the 60s, 70s. It's been really cold here on the East Coast. It's not good for offense. I would expect the Mets to get the bats going here and score 5 or 6 runs tonight off of Corbin.
Will, about a little over a minute to go here. I want to get your thoughts on the AT&T Byron Nelson, because I think you got a longer shot this week that you like that did pop on some of my models, still finishing my column for Point Spread Weekly, which will come out tomorrow. And one guy that popped out over the last 24 rounds was one Kurt Kitayama, the former UNLV running Rebel golfer.
Yeah, I took Kitayama first round leader and to win outright. I just think, look, he's played pretty well lately. He's been a little inconsistent, but he finished 15th last week, I think, at Wells Fargo. You know, finished second, finished third. Look, he hasn't broken through to win on the PGA, but he has a few wins in the European Tour. So I like that price. You can get him, I think, 125, 130 to one. Some really outlandish prices on Kitayama. So hoping my guy breaks through here.
No, I think he's got a chance, Will. And Dave, guys, usually when I do the model, I go last 36 rounds, last 24
it's
rounds.
Well.
Last 24 rounds, Kitayama was like top five in every statistic I looked at.
You guys going to nibble on Phil Mickelson in a couple weeks?
No, thank you.
No.
There he is, everybody. Will Hill. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Not The Will Hill. When we come back, let's talk more Major League Baseball with Les and I right here in the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.